I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, and good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all the tools today. We have substitute CJ McLaughlin.
What it do? Woody, get your damn feet off the desk, man. How many times I got to tell you?
I teach is my classroom now. Two wins behind you, baby.
Wear some shoes, man. Behind
you. Got the coach, Brandon Lumberg.
Hey, what's up, man?
Apparently someone's dying behind me, so forgive the sirens, everybody. They're on the
don't
way.
Worry about it. It's sound effects.
Hopefully they don't find the dead body you got in the
those
basement.
Those are the alarms. Those are the alarms coming from out of Tennessee because Derrick Henry is done for the season.
That's real.
And somehow the Titans have snuck to the best record in the NFL, 6-2. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, And, you know, I was thinking about this last night after I heard about the Derrick Henry injury. I mean, obviously, they got a nice little cushion in that division right now. But, I'm interested to see what that team looks like for the rest of the year.
Let me tell you why it's not going to work. All right. You have the Tennessee Titans who rely on ball control and have a suspect defense. You take away that ball control, add more plays for a suspect defense.
Agreed.
That's not a winning recipe.
Yeah, and you've got all the pundits out there, at least, you know, if you're a fantasy football person, talking about Adrian Peterson being the guy that they're bringing in. And, you know, that guy, he's old. He's going to be somewhat adequate, but he's not going to – there's no replacing Derrick Henry and what he does for this offense. I mean, he had 219 attempts, you know, so far, and the next closest person has 137. So, and that's Joe Mixon.
I'll tell you what, though, I would love to get Adrian Peterson, see one last old man great push for the end of the season. Somehow he puts together like 1,000 yards in 8 games.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Yeah. I love AP, man. All day. Also, what happened on Sunday, this was huge news. Oh, or did this happen Monday? I'm sorry. Von Miller was traded from the Denver Broncos for a second and third round pick to the Los Angeles Rams. Man, McVay don't care about draft picks at all.
No, he don't.
He really
That's
doesn't.
The first thing I thought. I'm like, how many draft picks they got? Like, I mean, look, it's a good get. It moves the needle quite a bit. I mean,
Von Miller has lost a step, but combining Von Miller with Floyd on the outside and having Aaron Donald in the middle, I think we're really underestimating how easy it's going to be to get around that edge for Von Miller, having Aaron Donald double teamed on the inside.
They're preparing for the Bucs in the playoffs. I mean, 100%. This is a chess move.
They're preparing for the Bucs, but they're also preparing for obviously the stiffest competition in that division this year, and that's Kyler Murray, right? I mean, it's Von Miller. I agree with you, Woody. He has lost a step. It really reminds me of the signing a few years ago. I told you this in the chat last night, but it reminds me when they signed Clay Matthews and he put up 8 sacks for him a few years ago. So it's a good get. And as you said, it's all about Aaron Donald because you have to double team Aaron Donald.
You have to.
So you can't send extra help for Von Miller.
I think we're doing Von Miller a little bit of a disservice, though, comparing him to when Clay came, because Von's still in like the upper echelon of his career.
I agree.
And Clay was at the very end of his career. So
that's real.
Just doing that math, though, if he can get a 1 year out of retirement, Clay Matthews 8 sacks, I'm imagining maybe 10 sacks down the stretch for Von Miller.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And also, Jalen Ramsey might be having his best professional season, and I feel like he hasn't got any like clout for it because of Trayvon Diggs just having like an unbelievable season at cornerback right now.
Yeah, well, you know, at the beginning of the year, I said something about Ramsey. He's playing a new position this year, not on every snap, but he's playing what they call the star position. So he's lining up at corner, but they're also moving him in the slot at nickel. They're walking him down in the box. Nice. And he's doing all kinds of stuff. He's in the he's always in the pile, right?
And well, they're making him impossible to avoid now, because what a lot of teams, he was getting that Nnamdi Asamoah treatment where people just weren't even throwing to his side of the field because the other corner is so suspect. So now if you move him around, you can't account for him on every play because you got to break down the defense.
Well, you know, the Rams are getting more value out of him now. Mm-hmm. Like if Jalen Ramsey was a corner who was strictly just a cover corner, a really good cover corner, then you put him on an island and you leave him out there. But the fact is, Jalen Ramsey has such an incredible skill set. You can put him at 3, 4, 5 different positions on defense, and he's going to make an impact because he's so versatile. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he can tackle. He bring the pain when he hits. I mean, it's nothing he really can't do on the defensive side of the ball. And that's why he's having such a great year, because they're actually starting to use him that way now.
Yeah, that's great. I love every part of that. He is having a great year, by the way. And he's also, you know, playing the position that he plays now, being versatile in that regard. You can take away just about anybody. I think, look at Tampa Bay, how they operate. They could put AB in the slot. They could put Godwin in the slot. They could put him outside. All those things, and then you just open the door to potentially take any of those guys away, no matter where they're lined up. And my mindset is, Ramsey, you can put him anywhere regardless, even before this year. Like, he's not a guy that you just want to throw in one spot, you know. Exactly. Put him on the wide side of the field or put him on the short side. You can put him anywhere, you know. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Another thing to look at before we go, the New Orleans Saints, who are surprisingly now 5-2 after beating the Super Bowl champion, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday, who I thought they were going to cover, but man, I didn't think they'd sneak out a win, especially after losing Jameis Winston 2 quarters into the game.
Yeah. Sean Payton for coach of the year, for sure.
100% as of right now. But I mean, also Jameis Winston adds to his legendary status, tears his ACL, still breaking it down to future on crutches in the locker room.
Oh, man, that was hilarious. Yeah. That was priceless.
Brandon, we might see your Taysom Hill project 2.0 for the stretching into the playoffs.
Simeon looked pretty good. He did well enough. But yeah, I'm sure we'll see Taysom Hill out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how healthy he is.
He's about to clear concussion protocol, what I was reading.
Okay.
Yeah, but the fact that Trevor Siemian played pretty well this past Sunday, Sean Payton, I'm sure he takes notice of that. And again, if you put Taysom Hill under center, then you lose a chess piece. You lose another weapon, right? So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they just go with Trevor Siemian and, you know, leave Taysom Hill in his H-back kind of role.
All I know is Jameis looked like he was about to have a game. He was about to have a game.
He was running for his life.
He was about to have a game. He was against against the man coverage. He was making plays with his leg. And they hit that huge play to Tre'Quan Smith for a touchdown. And then I think it was like a drive or two later is when he got hurt. And you're like, oh, he was on his way to having a game.
There's this one guy on TikTok who breaks down film that I watch. I love him. He's this black dude. He's so funny. And he broke down Jameis's fake pitch to the defense when he was running that worked for the first down.
He's running towards
two Bucks defenders, and he faked that he was throwing it right to the defender.
He's already like 5 yards across the line of scrimmage.
And it got him the first down. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
He's a 5-second 40-yard dash, too. He's not
Jabbo,
like
I know. I was shocked when I seen that.
Yeah.
He does a good job.
Also, Mike White, the creative player on Madden at 62 overall, led the NFL in passing, but we'll get to that when we get to the Jets. Yeah.
You know, I remember someone saying last week during our episode, someone had brought him up and said, hey, look, you brought him up, Mike White, you know?
The Green Bay Packers and Arizona Cardinals. Now, see, I remember you were on the fence about this game, but you went with the Cardinals because they didn't have Davante Adams, and they didn't have A.J. Dillon, and that was smart. But, man, you know I have that undying faith in Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers have covered every game this season except the first game. So I was all on them on a cover, but they snuck out a win on Thursday Night Football against the Arizona Cardinals.
They did.
That was a tough job.
What was A.J. Green thinking? What was he thinking?
Like, his controller on that disconnected.
So many casual fans in this world. I had people on my Facebook who was like, oh, you can't be mad at A.J. Green. I'm like, you don't know football, son. I'm like, it's 14 seconds left on the clock. The previous play, they just ran a quarterback run and used their last timeout. So it's 14 seconds left on the clock.
It's a quick
timeouts. It's first and goal. You have to throw it two or three times because if you run it with 14 seconds left, that's going to be the only play you get to run. So yep. I have no idea. If AJ Green didn't know the play, I get it. But you know it's a throw.
Yeah.
Run a route.
Also, I think Kyler got rid of it that quickly because of his foot, and he realized that he couldn't move around in the pocket, so he wanted to make sure he got rid of it. It was just a perfect storm for some crap at the end of the game. But that was on AJ Green for sure.
Yeah. So speaking of the Packers, they've covered seven now games. Their last seven games, counting this one.
Since week one, yeah.
Yeah, last week we had talked about some player props, and I'll throw these out there before we do move on from this. James Conner scored at least one touchdown in four of the Cardinals' last five games. We just added another two touchdowns in the red zone, by the way.
He's second in the NFL in rushing touchdowns behind Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and he's tied with Derrick Henry in touchdowns within the 10 or from 10 yards or less. So in the red zone, he's dominant, and he's in there 65% of the rush attempts inside the 10-yard line. So something to pay attention to for fantasy owners and prop bettors out there. He also hit that player prop at plus 100 by scoring as well.
Let's be real. James Conner's becoming poor man Aaron Jones. He's getting all these opportunities in the red zone. You can go after this man for a discount in a league if you want. If he's going to be in the top five offense as the red zone back, that man, you could trade low for him and he could end up winning you a fantasy league. That's someone to look out for at the end.
One thing real quick, the run game finally against the Cardinals rang true between the tackles. All that stuff was working. We were going back and forth about that. Loved everything that I saw there from Green Bay.
It was still some bad play calling. Like, Green Bay still threw it too much. Personally, watching the game, I feel like they should have lost. I mean, we can go down to the final play, but I mean, Green Bay was having such success running the ball. They would come out and throw it sometimes. I'm like, why are you even throwing it? Like, just run it. Just run.
Well, you saw the horror on Aaron Rodgers' face on the sideline when they were marching down. This man thought he had lost the game.
Yeah, terrible body language. Yeah. I hate that.
All right, the next game that we're jumping into is the Cincinnati Bengals and New York Jets. Now, to say this was the most surprising game of the day would be an understatement.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. Let's talk about Mike White. Now, CJ, I know we gave you your little bit of flowers earlier. You did bring him up and say the man looked good, and you saw him in college. You think he could throw the ball. You know, hey. You were on
405 yards.
Yeah.
Now, 405 yards, two touchdowns.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
I think another big story from this game was the emergence of Michael Carter. Michael Carter, who a lot of people, you guys were all over both those North Carolina backs pre-draft. And we all thought Michael Carter in what, the fourth round was a steal for the Jets. Mm-hmm. A lot of people did. And a lot of people had already dropped him in fantasy. I'd held on to him in another league. I had to drop him for a bye the week before. But he came out, 15 carries, 77 yards, one TD, and nine catches for 95 yards.
He was targeted 14 times.
Yeah. Can we see him to sustain this? Is this a league winner?
So look, I don't think it's sustainable, and it's only because, well, obviously when Wilson comes back, I'm sure they'll still implement him into the offense and throw it to him. This is when I want Michael Carter, though. Michael Carter is probably going to eventually be, in fantasy terms, he's going to eventually be an RB1 within the next year or two. He's going to get better when you get more weapons around him. Because Michael Carter is not a traditional running back. Yeah, they handed the ball to him 15 times, but he's better suited to play that Alvin Kamara role. Throw it to him 10 times, give him 10 carries. If you have weapons on the outside, you got a solid offensive line and a competent coordinator, like, he can definitely put up a lot of production.
Now, coming off two big wins for this young Bengals team, the teenage Bengals, and not the baby Bengals anymore, I think this is just a classic. They, coming off two big wins, they underestimated coming into this Jets game. We're not worried about Cincinnati here yet, are we?
No, I'm not. You are? Okay. I mean,
I just, the ups and downs are going to kill them. They got to be consistent. You got to win the games that you should win. And this was just a game where the Jets, they got some pressure on Burrow. They got some sacks. And I mean, they weren't able to run the football in a game like this either, which is, you know, troublesome. So,
you know, I feel like it comes down to, the reason I'm not worried is, one, I don't think the Bengals are legit contenders, right? I think they are a little better than what we thought they were, which means that they're playoff contenders. I don't think that changes. What happened Sunday is just, you know, what happens to inexperienced teams. And look, can you blame them? The Jets lost 54-13 to the Patriots the week before. So, like, yeah. I thought this was definitely going to be an easy win, regardless of whether they, you know, was going to be let down or not. But any given Sunday, fellas.
Yeah. Any given Sunday. Let's talk about the Colts and the Titans. So, the Colts and Titans came into this one big division game on the line. And it was a huge win for the Titans, even more so, because now they will be without Derrick Henry for the rest of the season, as we talked about. They've already picked up Adrian Peterson, so they're going to try to still run the ball between the tackles tough. That's why you go out and get old man AP. They need someone who can put it between the tackles and just, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and hopefully he breaks one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one was super interesting, though, because Carson Wentz did classic Carson Wentz things in this game. Yeah. He comes out, throws 2 touchdowns in the first quarter. Then he waits to the end of the game, lets Tennessee back into it, and they're on their own goal line. And this man, awful. It was the first time I've ever seen, it looked like somehow the ball had switched hands in which hands he was holding it. So instead of switching it back to his throwing hand, he tried to fake, it looked like he was about to do an and one crossover with the football. Like he's going to bounce it on the ground. Yeah, and he got caught up with it. It was so terrible. Then he let him back down and got a touchdown.
And then he threw a terrible pick in overtime. So, yeah. You know, it's the ups and it's the downs. And it's not all Carson Wentz's fault. The bad pick six that he had on their goal line. I mean, that was a bad play call. The call was a play action screen pass. And it was covered perfectly. Carson Wentz thought to throw it at the running back's feet. Even saw him pump the ball at the running back's feet, like to throw it away, and then he switched hands, and he tries to make like a left-handed pass or something, is what he just alluded to. And it was just bad. It's great for the Titans, though, because the Titans, you know, they won the season series against Indianapolis already. You know, they beat them twice already this year. So if Indianapolis, if they do make up any ground, since Tennessee doesn't have Derrick Henry, they're going to have a better record than Tennessee, because if they tie with them, then Tennessee's still going to win the division.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Oh no, yeah, I just wanted to throw out there that 400 odds for the Colts to win the AFC South as of last week. I'm not sure what the updated odds look like, but keep an eye on that. The Colts, they've won 0 games decided by 3 points or less this season. This was just another one of those situation. So they're going to have to win a few of those if they're going to win the division, but keep an eye on those AFC South odds and try to snatch that up if you can.
Also, another person to take a peek at fantasy wise down the stretch, maybe acquiring it. It's looking like Michael Pittman's turning into a low grade number one wide receiver in the Indianapolis Colts offense. So I was all over that one the offseason. And I believe CJ, you were on that too.
Nice.
Let's take a look at the Los Angeles Rams and Houston Texans. So the Rams destroyed the Texans here. We're not going to talk about it much. They did what good teams do. They scored 40 points on a bad team. They let the Texans score a little bit more than in past weeks, but they were bound to have some.
Which, look, for anybody to put some bets down on that game, I mean, it was a little too close for comfort, because I look and I'm like, oh, 38-0. And then I flip it back. Yeah. I'm like, 38-22. Hold up. I thought they had covered. I thought the Texans had covered, but the line was,
the line moved. Line moved before the game. So like when we picked the game, it was plus 16. 14.
It was plus what?
It was plus 14 when we picked the game. Gotcha. But it moved from plus 16 to plus 14. Yeah. It started at plus 16 at the start of the week, moved to plus 14. And then before the game started, I don't remember what it moved to at that point. But at plus 14, if you put the money on it at that point for Houston, they put up 3 fourth-quarter touchdowns, managed to keep it within that range. And therefore, if you were betting on the Rams to take it to Houston in that matter, then you lost.
And Cooper Kupp has surpassed his fantasy point total from last year already. So,
yeah, he's putting up historic numbers right now.
Like, yeah, he's going to break Calvin Johnson's single season record for receiving yards. Yeah,
no, he's not.
But, I mean,
let's talk about Darrell Henderson. He's on his way. Darrell Henderson, he's legit. He's a top 15 back.
He's getting there.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy.
There you go. I was waiting for it. If he can stay
healthy. That's it. Health.
And he's not.
He's doing it now. A couple games here. You're feeling good?
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Or a twisted ankle or something.
Unfortunately, I don't wish that on anybody, but I just haven't
seen
him
in a league. CJ, I got him in a league. You don't want to wish that.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Cleveland Browns. I mean, I was all over this one. You giving me Baker Mayfield, who played terribly so far this season. Half his body isn't working. I'll take Pittsburgh, even with a washed Ben Roethlisberger. I don't. This game was boring. It was 15-10. There's not much else to say there.
Yeah,
Baker got hurt.
Oh, for the Steelers. That was a fake field goal. Oh my God, they don't hit at practice. They probably practiced that over and over during practice this week. None of the scenarios versus the fourth team defense did he get hit. He probably threw like six touchdowns on the six times they practiced the play, but that was bad. But look, man, Baker, he's under so much just pressure from the media, whether he's the guy or not. And look, he actually played pretty good Sunday. His teammates let him down. Jarvis Landry had a couple of bad drops, had a fumble. OBJ didn't show up. It was just a lot, but Baker Mayfield played fairly well. Now, obviously, perception and reality are two different things, and the perception of Baker isn't necessarily a good one. But the reality of it is he played well Sunday. He played good enough to win the game.
Baker also chose, for some reason, the other day to post some pro-cop stuff on his Instagram, so I'm sure he's made a lot.
They need to cut him. Cut him down.
He posted something about Austin's murder rate and some. Yeah.
You know, he's a Texas boy. I'm not surprised.
I'm not super surprised either. You know, frats flock together.
He should be a hater of the cops because he got chased down by the cops in an embarrassing attempt to get away.
Yeah, man. I'm like, whoa. And then he ran a 4.8 40, and I understood. I thought he was a little more athletic than that going into the combine. But
just another bootlicker. Odell Beckham Sr. has come out, and he posted an Instagram post showing where Baker Mayfield hasn't been passing the ball to Odell Beckham Jr.
It was his dad. Sorry.
It was his dad.
You said that. Correct. Yeah.
He literally, why would you throw to someone who's been dropping wide open passes? Let's talk about that before we talk about Baker not throwing to him. He's dropping first downs wide open going across the middle. Maybe he doesn't trust it. That's just normal. Like OBJ.
I don't know how to read into that other than like dads just need to shut up. I mean, in high school, that's cool. But, you know, when you get to the NFL, I don't even care if you're Tom Brady. Tom Brady's dad, what the dad conversation needs to shut is up, like. Dude. It's
just like, come on, dad. I don't need you.
Right.
I'm a grown man.
We've been over it for a few seasons, for pretty much since last year, CJ. You were saying that I'm finally coming around. OBJ, I feel like he'd do better in a different offense, but if he's not catching the ball, then no. Like,
his injuries have plagued him and held him back. If he was just healthy, he'd probably be OBJ.
All night lifestyle, rock star lifestyle usually doesn't translate well into soft tissue injuries.
And just think about the injuries he's had. I mean, torn ACL, broken ankle. You know, he's had like abdominal tears and hernias and everything with his midsection and his lower body. That's how you accelerate, you know, that's how you stop and cut and plan on a dime and do all those things that he was really known for being good at, you know? So it's tough, man. It's tough. I feel bad for OBJ. I was a fan.
Hey, we got Browns and Bengals this week, so we'll see.
That'll be a good game.
Things go. Yep.
Philadelphia Eagles at Detroit Lions. Eagles absolutely destroyed the Lions here. Like, I thought the Lions were on the edge of maybe getting their first win. Boy, was I wrong. And it was a weird game. Eagles only threw the ball 16 times in this game.
They didn't
game.
Have to. It was terrible, man.
They were running.
they win 44-6 and Jalen Hurts didn't do, he did diddly squat for me in fantasy because they crushed him so bad.
236 rushing yards to 57.
Say hello to the reemergence of plotter Jordan Howard. Welcome back to the NFL. Two touchdowns off the street.
I mean, that's his role, though. And mind you, Miles Sanders didn't even play. So that was Boston Scott and Jordan Howard, you know, doing everything in the run game. So
totally. And everyone was all over Kenneth Gainwell talking about how good of a receiver this man was. Well, didn't even get a target in this game. Bart Scott, Boston Scott, and Jordan Howard. That's who you wanted this weekend, apparently. But there's nothing really else to say here except shout out to my Pac-12 boy, Jamar Jefferson, scored his first NFL touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Love that dude.
That was your guy. I remember you saying some about him in the draft process.
Yep, Jamar Jefferson. He's gave him a shout to keep out. An eye on.
Basically.
San Francisco 49ers, Chicago Bears. The 49ers won this one in 33-22, but that score honestly doesn't do it justice. The Bears, they were in this one, and man, there was a play in this game where you're like, oh yeah, Justin Fields is, he's a different type of athlete. It looked like a high school play. The way the play broke down, he juked out three people behind the line of scrimmage, then turned the jets on, made it all the way to the end zone. That was finally one of the best scrambles I've seen in
finally
a long time.
You know, finally. So to your point, Woody, the game was a lot closer than what the final score said. It was an unimpressive victory by the Niners, a victory nonetheless, though. And it is the NFL, so we can't take away from that. I was more impressed with the Bears here. Because for weeks, we have been calling for that offense to use Justin Fields' athletic ability, run some boots, run a lot of play action, get him outside the pocket, move the pocket for him. And they finally did that this past Sunday.
10 carries, 103 yards.
He had his most efficient game. And then through the air, I mean, he only threw for 175 yards, but he was efficient. He was 19 of 27. And, I mean, the Bears' offense was able to move. So, you know, it's all about moving the chains, picking up first downs, and it looked like they were able to do that this past Sunday. So hopefully they can build up on that, and hopefully Matt Nagy's not vaccinated and he misses another week.
Khalil Herbert has established himself enough to where it's a split now when Montgomery comes back, right?
Oh, man.
I think they'll still use him, but I think Montgomery's the number one. He'll get the lion's share of the carries.
It'll be like a 75-25. I mean,
I was thinking around like 60, 40, 70, 30.
But you got your guy from when Montgomery needs to be re-signed.
Boom. There you go. Exactly.
And Elijah Mitchell deserves a little bit of a call out too. He, 137 yards and a touchdown on the ground.
Yeah, it looked great on Sunday.
That's his backfield now. And I think Brandon may have said that a few weeks ago. And I was like, I don't know yet, but it looks like it's definitely his backfield now. Six round
I'm just,
pick.
And we all know San Francisco running backs can't stay healthy, so give him. He's already on the injury report right now. So
Shanahan, we know he's one of the best offensive coordinators in the league, obviously. But we're really starting to question him as with head coaching decisions the past couple seasons. But is he trying to get Jimmy G out the lineup? Like, why is he running back one at the goal line? This man's rushing Jimmy Garoppolo at the goal line.
No, I like it. They were doing that in preseason. They did that in preseason. Remember the conversation where they were alternating Lance and Jimmy G in and out, and they were kind of playing, toying with the defense a little bit by throwing the football with Lance on a play and then bringing Jimmy G back in. Then he's running it, and you're like, wait, what's going on? Because your mindset is Jimmy Garoppolo is going to run the zone read, or he's going to run a bootleg and take it into the end zone. I like what they're doing.
The defense off balance too. And then also, I think we can also allude to just analytics in the red zone. I feel like that's, I don't know the numbers, but I feel like over the last couple of years, we have seen more quarterbacks have more goal line carries than before. And I think analytics says, hey, if you run your quarterback, you have the extra blocker, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. The chances of the defense even recognizing something like that outside of something that's more ordinary, then you look at that percentage too.
Like even guys who aren't necessarily considered dual threat quarterbacks, Sammy Darnold, who's a really good athlete, you know, but he's still not known to be a dual threat quarterback. He's a good athlete. He leads all NFL quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns so far this year. So I think analytics definitely plays a huge part in that.
Well, speaking of Sammy Darnold, let's talk about the Carolina Panthers and Atlanta Falcons. Carolina won this one in an ugly one, 19-13. Both quarterbacks on both sides started just absolutely getting brutalized during this game. Matt Ryan, he almost lost a finger. He was gushing blood all over the field.
Oh, yeah.
But he stayed in like a real
He was trying to hide it, too. Like,
yeah, he was. He was that. That was a lot of blood, yeah, too.
I'd be a little worried, too, because they, I mean, look, it's the Atlanta Falcons. You don't know what's in that blood.
Down in Atlanta. You don't know what's in that blood.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, he was looking good in this one. He ran the ball, 8 carries, 66 yards, and he had a tough run towards the end of the game, brought him near the goal line, but he got dropped, and he's going through concussion protocol now. So we don't know. Yeah, man, you felt bad for that man when he got up. He takes off his helmet. That blockhead is spinning. he got rocked. But yeah. P.J. Walker comes in, doesn't have to do much. He just pretty much waited, ran out the clock. This game, Carolina's made 4 field goals.
I think I'm interested to see.
I was waiting for you to say. I think the Carolina Panthers offense might get better with PJ.
Well, if it's not this year, I'm interested to see if there's like a contingency plan in Carolina, because Walker was there last year. Obviously, we know the type of ability that he has. He played some spot duty last year, and he's played some spot duty this year, and he hasn't looked bad. I want to watch more tape on him to see. I know he's a good athlete, but I want to see what his arm looked like, because I'm just curious to know if they're looking to just kind of develop him and use him at quarterback going forward, maybe next year, maybe the year after that.
A little DFS fantasy nugget, someone that I've kept my eye on for this next coming week, is if Walker starts this week, there was one specific wide receiver that he was destroying with during the preseason, which we don't put too much into preseason, but Robbie Anderson also got rocked, may not be playing next week. So
that was bad.
I am all over Terrence Marshall Jr. as a DFS play for a low buy if he starts this game and P.J. Walker is the quarterback, because he was putting up big numbers in the preseason, P.J. Yeah. Walker.
Deep threat.
I love that. Let's move on to the next game. We got the Miami Dolphins and Buffalo Bills. Now, this one was much closer than we thought it was going to be for most of the game, but then you just kind of saw the better team take over towards the end. I think Buffalo was kind of toying with him here, and then Josh Allen just got it done when it needed to get done. Tua, I mean, he had the game we thought he was going to have against this defense, right?
He's Tua.
He's Tua, yeah. Josh Allen put up 249 this one, 2 TDs, no interceptions. Led the team in rushing, still keeping himself up there in the MVP race.
Hey, Woody, how well did Miami run the ball as a team versus Buffalo?
I mean, they were terrible. 23 carries, 68 yards, 3 yards a carry. No one was over 4.
That's exactly what I said during the preview. I said, hey, Buffalo runs a lot of too high. And so you got to be able to run the ball versus a too high. And they weren't able to, because Miami's a bad rushing team. So
yeah,
that explains the 11 points they scored or whatever it was.
Yep. Devontae Parker in this one, back from injury, got 11 targets, 8 receptions, 85 yards. Something to look out on waiver wires for. And Cole Beasley, also 10 receptions, 110 yards. I think he's getting extra love because he was not looked at a lot early on in the season. But that directly does affect Emmanuel Sanders. So if you've been starting Emmanuel Sanders in your flex spot, it's going to be hit or miss down the stretch. So Emmanuel Sanders is someone I would sell high on right now in fantasy leagues. If you could throw him in on a deal.
I might hold him, because we all know Cole Beasley's kind of hit or miss too. You know what I mean? So
they're going to steal from each other. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I think so too, but
I think, you have Stephon Diggs, right? Stephon Diggs is obviously the guy for that receiver corps. But I think that Buffalo run game is pretty good, and because it's just pretty good, I think it's going to be enough targets to go around. Obviously, Buffalo likes to keep the ball in Josh Allen's hand, especially in the red zone. Cole Beasley has had 2 of his most productive weeks all season, the last 2 games played. So, I mean, with that being said, I think Cole Beasley is a worthy candidate for getting somewhere between 900 to 1,000 yards. He almost broke 1,000 last year. I know it's mouths to feed on that offense, but I think Cole Beasley has a pretty good chance to do well this year. And I think Emmanuel Sanders can continue to pace as well. Only time will tell.
New England Dawson Patriots, Knox, too. Keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, obviously. New England Patriots and Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers were favored in six this one. And with that rushing defense, I mean, I knew Bill. I knew he was going to pound that rock. And that they did. 39 carries, touches, 141 yards overall. Damian Harris got the bulk of them here with 23 touches. Mac Jones, he does what Mac Jones does. He didn't throw any interceptions, didn't do anything that great, but he didn't lose them the game. And Nick Folk hit four field goals in this one. And the New England Patriots, I thought the Patriots would cover and Los Angeles would pull it out, but, you know, you can't stop the run.
You know, I think we all agree that Justin Herbert is the better quarterback between him and Mac Jones. Oh, didn't look that way Sunday.
Didn't.
Mac Jones looked a lot better, and I was impressed. I was probably the most impressed that I have been of Mac Jones this season. He made some nice throws.
Herbert was under pressure like 17 times too.
Yeah, that 17 total times. Did not hold up well against.
Which is shocking, because they played well all year.
Mm-hmm. I pulled these stats, and I mentioned this a little bit ago, but Herbert, who's been good when pressured, he completed 41% of his throws under pressure in this game. 57% when kept clean, but let's point out on the season, on average, when under pressure, he's completed 47% of his throws. Last year, under pressure, he completed 57% of his throws. So there's been a drop. People are starting to recognize pressure is starting to get to him.
Joe Lombardi, nepotism.
Yeah. Mike Williams started off on fire this year. He's had two back-to-back bad weeks. We worried about we selling high on Mike Williams or selling, I guess it'll be low now.
Fire Joe Lombardi.
It's looking like
I don't know if you liked Joe Lombardi before we started the season. I think we had a conversation about
CJ. Yeah, I didn't like it. I was super reserved on that hire. And look, this is what did it for me. Joe Lombardi, everywhere he's been, where he was either quarterback coach or OC, it was under Sean Payton or a really good quarterback. His first gig as offensive coordinator, he went to the Detroit Lions. They started the season 1-6. They finished the season 9-7 after he got fired.
That's right. You brought that up to me.
Yeah, you know, that's and maybe it's like adjustments, you know. Maybe he's good at calling plays, but maybe he's not so good at making the adjustments to continue. Because, look, now it's film out, okay? You got 6, 7, 8 weeks of film out.
Yeah.
You can't do the same thing.
I like that.
New England Patriots are 4-4. Do we see them sneaking back into this wild card race?
I do.
Three teams in the East, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's wild. I can't believe they're 4-4, but
hell of a coaching job.
I mean, part of me, it's hard to believe, but then at the same time, it's Belichick. He, you know, it's all about playing defense, not turning over the ball. So this isn't a great team.
They're one field goal like 6 inches away, 6 inches further. Then beating the Tampa Bay Bucks too. Like, let's not forget about that.
Yep.
So they could have been easily as 4-4, 5-3.
Yep.
With a big win there.
Or 6-2 because they took Dallas to the very end.
Very
right?
true. They're playing tough. Seattle Seahawks, Jacksonville Jaguars. Seattle blew the doors off them in this one. Geno Smith putting up a Russ-like stat line. 20 of 24, 195 yards. Two touchdowns.
Oh, man. Urban Meyer making dumb decisions, too. They were down, three possessions they would have needed. They would have needed, a touchdown and several two-point conversions each way, and they just kick an extra point. Then they go and kick the onside kick, and the onside kick gets picked up and ran back for a touchdown anyway. But just the thought process of scoring a touchdown and not actually going for two is, I mean, even Madden-level players understand you must go for two in those situations to lessen the amount of possessions needed to make a comeback. There you go. So
maybe he lost his index card or something. You know, coaches usually have that card.
I lost it.
Has when they should go for two. Maybe he lost it or something. But, man, Urban Meyer has lost a lot. He's losing games. He's losing his respect, his dignity. I mean, it's a lot. Do y'all think Urban Meyer is going to be here at the end of the season?
No. We've said this since week two. No.
Zero chance.
No. Why?
I don't even think he'll get it. I think that someone would hire him in college, but it's – I guarantee he's losing so much notoriety even now at the college level. People don't want that within the confines. I'm sure somebody will, obviously, yeah. Somebody in the SEC.
I can't believe I wrote an article about him last year.
Hey.
Shout out Mike McCarthy.
Tyler Lockett. After, of course, very Tyler Lockett things, like 3 receptions in the last 2 games, has 12 receptions for 144 yards. Gotta
That's
love
him. Tyler Lockett for you.
That's Tyler Lockett.
It's Brandon's boy.
Brandon's boy right there.
Yeah.
Washington football team, Denver Broncos. The Washington football team lost this one 10-17. Broncos, it was a very Bronco-like game.
It was ugly.
Let's be honest, man. Once again, for like the 3rd, 4th season in a row, the Broncos got all this talent and just not a quarterback who's going to win them anything.
Vic's gone. They passed on a few in the draft. So
yep.
It's their fault. That's all Vic's on gone. Them.
It's great. Imagine Justin Fields with these wide receivers.
Or even give him Mac Jones. I mean, legend to sit back and do his thing. Like, but it is what it is.
I feel like Teddy Bridgewater's Mac Jones. I think he does the same things for this offense.
He does, but not enough. I think Mac Jones is a little bit better because McDaniels.
Yeah. Lee Antonio Gibson, only 8 carries, 34 yards in this one. Yeah, Jarrett Patterson come out, 11 carries, 46 yards. I think we're just seeing Gibson, that fracture in his shin is just starting to catch up with him a little bit.
Yeah. I'm so tired of hearing Rivera compares Gibson to CMC. It's starting to get
And look, before you know it, like, he shouldn't be playing with a stress fracture, because before you know it, he's gonna plant and cut, and next thing you know, the bones gonna be popping out. You know, like, bro, play. Think about your career, man. You got 10 years in this league. Don't throw it away in one season. Don't play.
Don't give me. I got something to say here.
Oh snap!
Javonte Williams, this. Javonte Williams, that. The man's got talent. That's why they got him. But put some respect on my boy Melly G's name, man. He ain't going out without a fight. 2 touchdowns.
No, he's not.
Week. Man's got the nose for the end zone. More so than any player I've ever seen. You get around that end zone, and he's just there. He finds a way.
And he's still a good player, man.
He is.
And he's going to be a starter for someone next year.
I think he's on the second year of a 3-year contract with Denver, I think.
I thought it was a 2-year.
I don't know. That would be good information to be factually correct about.
I mean, look at the injuries across the league. Keep him. If you're Denver and you can hold on, hold on.
If you can. But, you know, guys like Melvin Gordon, he's been a bell cow before. I'm sure he wants to be a bell cow again, right? So sometimes, I don't know. But I'm with you on that. The Broncos should definitely keep him. You can never have too many running backs.
Yeah, not now. Nowadays, you need as many as you can get.
Oh my gosh, you ain't lying.
Right? Next man up. Jerry Jeudy came back in this one, and I remember he made a big catch during that game.
Yep, he did.
For a first down. He had 4 catches, 39 yards. He's gonna improve that pass offense. He'll be able to make some big plays down the stretch.
Yeah, more underneath, and he fits Teddy Bridgewater's game.
Now, it's also important to notice before we move on that it's starting to get cold, all right? Denver, high elevation. So, I don't know. I'd be interested to see what the passing numbers and the totals look like maybe over the last 5 or 6 years once we get into the month of November. You know, like, it's harder to throw the ball. The wind's blowing. It's a lot.
Teddy's got tiny hands.
Yep.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints somehow won this game 36-27. We're going to dive into it here, but Jameis came out running, throwing. He looked on a mission for a famous Jameis revenge game here. And then he got knocked out of the game. He's done for the season. It's looking like a torn ACL. So happy trails. But
it's my $100 of fab. Could have got me a win. I was counting on it so hard.
But Trevor Siemian came in, and he does what a good backup does, which we've seen Trevor Siemian do before. 16-29, 159 yards, and a touchdown. He got the job done, and they beat Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, look, I feel like this story or this game is more so about the Saints' defense. And coming into the season, I'll admit what I'm wrong. I was predicting the Saints defense to have a bit of a drop off. At some point, it's coming. I'm gonna still say that the same stuff next year too. At some point, this defense is getting older. They're gonna have a drop off, but they put pressure on Tom Brady.
That's what I was gonna say.
Tom Brady didn't look great at all, especially towards the end when
even
you
with
were
four touchdown passes.
Yeah, and you were expecting Tom Brady things to down the stretch.
This is what we've seen from the second half of Tom Brady's career. When you get that old, especially when you do a lot of stretching and you're not the biggest mass-wise, muscle-wise, you get hit a few times, you start looking a lot more normal. If you hit a man who's 43, he's going to start coming back to earth, even if he is the greatest quarterback of all time.
That man's not 43. More like 28. Yeah, he's definitely not aging at all. He's 10 years. It's probably more like 33.
I think he's an alien. I've never seen. Have you ever seen Tom Brady bleed?
Nope.
Yeah. Even in maybe not even in his Michigan days.
Exactly.
And the dude was doing the same Michigan that he's doing now. Come from behind wins and crazy stuff and moments you don't expect, and you're like, what the heck?
One thing that is getting more dangerous in this offense with Antonio Brown missing a game with his ankle problem here. Chris Godwin further entrenches himself and gets that much more on the page with Tom Brady.
That was big DFS stuff too. Yeah, well, because the matchup.
Thanks, Brandon. You took the words right out of my mouth. He had the best matchup against any of the defensive backs Sunday because he had Lattimore, who generally shadows Evans whenever they play, and Godwin just had the best matchup. Now, for people who are overreacting about this game, New Orleans aren't legit contenders for the Super Bowl or even for the division. At full strength, when Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski come back, this is a different Tampa Bay offense. Like, at that point, it's so many mismatches. You can't match up. Now, when AB and Gronk are out, then, okay, you can match up a little bit better on the defensive side of the ball. But when those guys are back, man, that offense is just scary.
It's true. Yeah. Dallas Cowboys, Minnesota Vikings, the Dallas Cowboys.
Cooper Rush.
Dak Prescott, a late scratch because of the calf injury. They're just being precautious, which I think is smart at this point in the season, especially with Dak coming back from that big injury. But they pulled this one out, starting Cooper Rush.
That late game.
325 yards, man. Cedric Wilson, he bailed them out good with a 73-yard touchdown just put on the Jets after he caught
it. That dude can play, man.
Yeah.
He can.
He's a baller.
He should be on the trade. They should be trying to trade him to get something for him.
Yeah, well, see, the situation
I'd trade
right
Michael
now.
Gallup and keep Wilson the way Wilson.
There you go. Because Michael Gallup's contract will be up after this year. And I can almost guarantee you that they're not going to retain him now with Cedric Wilson playing the way he is, So that receiving corps is deep. The most compelling thing to me about this game was now we know for a fact that the Dallas Cowboys are more than a decent team with a really good quarterback. This is a solid team all the way around. They have a solid offensive line. They can run the ball. And then the question mark was the defense. I said, hey, the weak spot of that defense is you can run on them. Well, they shut down Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook had two rather long carries, but outside of that, he didn't do anything.
Speed.
Kirk Cousins did what we know Kirk Cousins do.
We have a breaking news update here.
Las Ruggs.
Vegas Raiders Henry Ruggs has been involved in a serious car accident, according to TMZ. No. So thoughts and prayers up for our man Henry Ruggs. Well, if anything comes in while we're recording, we'll make sure to update you guys. But that is not news.
No, I got him in my dynasty league.
Yep. Which, by the way, I've been setting those lineups. We're still in playoff contention in that league.
Wait, I appreciate it. I haven't looked at it.
No, I got you. That's right. We're on a 3-game streak right now.
Oh, hell yeah. We lit.
Nice.
Yeah. But the Cowboys, like, this is very, very impressive. This is what good teams do. The quarterback needed some time off. You got to steal that win. It's so important. When your team can get a win without your quarterback, your ego, your confidence, it goes from here to here. Because it's like, we can do it on our own. That's just extra credit.
Hey, man, that's how I felt this week. And then Winston got hurt.
So Minnesota converted a third down on their opening drive. And honestly, I think the third down was converted via penalty. For the remainder of the game, all the way up until the fourth quarter, Minnesota didn't convert a third down. So halfway through the fourth quarter, they were 1 of 11 for third downs. I mean, that's just unacceptable. It's just unacceptable, yeah. Especially when you have people out there who want to make claims that Kirk Cousins is a top 10 to 12 quarterback. And I get he's played well this season, but this is the Kirk Cousins that we know. Like,
Kirk,
cool.
Well, this is the Monday Night Football Kirk Cousins that we know. Exactly. Primetime Kirk Cousins. He don't show up
but
primetime.
Another insult to injury is Minnesota was the home team for this.
Yep.
Yeah. Justin Jefferson having maybe the worst game so far of his career. 2 catches, 21 yards.
Yep.
That's, you know.
And look, early in the game, it looked like it was going to be a rout. I mean, the Vikings, they came out, they drove the ball down the field. They were actually picking on Trayvon Diggs a little bit. Trayvon Diggs likes to, you know, look in the backfield a lot. And, you know, they threw it over his head a couple of times. But they adjusted, they recovered, and they, like you said, Woody, they do what good teams do.
Mm-hmm. Monday Night Football, the New York Giants versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I texted y'all towards the end of the third quarter. I was like, how the heck are the Giants still in this game?
I can tell you.
Daniel Jones, just the most vanilla quarterback of all time. Somehow throws a good deep ball, still is vanilla. You think that adds
literally and figuratively. Literally and figuratively.
Just like 22-32, 222 yards, 2 TDs and an interception. But 70 of those yards came on one play. He was dinking and dunking. There's not a lot of mid-range there. But to be fair, the Giants lost 3 wide receivers throughout this game. They lost Tony. They lost Shepard. They lost somebody else, too.
Before Jesus. They don't have anybody else to lose.
It's all the same ones that always get hurt.
It's crazy.
I mean, did they lose Slayton?
That might have been it. Slayton didn't have a catch or a...
He was out there.
Yeah, he had 2 targets. When John Ross is looking like your best wide receiver, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you know, gotta give Daniel Jones a little credit then. I mean,
there's no weapons outside.
I don't.
You won't give him any credit.
I'm all right,
dude. Mahomes and the Chiefs look a little pedestrian.
I'm worried. I am very worried.
I told y'all last week. We looked at their schedule. They're missing the playoffs.
They have the toughest schedule for the remainder of the season. Their next 4 games is 3 of them are against divisional leader. So you got the Cowboys.
This was
in
their
there.
Most winnable game for the rest of the season. And they only won by 3 points.
Over the next 4 weeks, they have to go against Dallas. You got to go against Green Bay, and you got to go against Vegas. So, I mean, it's not going to be easy. And I'm worried, man. And look, I reserved my worry for up until last week. And I'm like, I'm a little worried. They won, and I'm really worried. Patrick Mahomes does not look good. I think he really needs to get back to the fundamentals. First read, if he's open, throw it to him.
That's true.
And, oh, look, and the Kansas City Chiefs are one of the better teams at yards per carry and yards before contact. Run the ball. Run the ball. Period. Yep. Don't matter who's back there. Run the ball.
They went out and they signed power offensive linemen. We already said this isn't a scheme fit, and now they're not going to use the dudes they have at least on offense.
Yeah,
this makes no sense. Yeah. Guys, I have just one perfect example of how weird this fantasy season has been. Right, we really might close out the season with Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, and a rookie Jamar Chase as our top 3 wide receivers. Fantasy, like, think about that.
Yeah. Hey, it's realized potential. Did people believe that Deebo was somewhat of an elite player in his own right?
We all love Deebo. He just couldn't
some
stay
point,
healthy.
Yeah, that's it. Cooper Kupp, same thing. Not elite. We don't look at Cooper Kupp and say, oh, yep, he's Calvin Johnson, even though he could break Calvin Johnson's receiving record, right? I mean, you've got all those factors.
Yeah, I had to knock on wood just now because, look, we're not even halfway through the season yet. And Deebo, he's an amazing talent.
He did suffer a calf injury.
Damn.
In this game, so
it never freaking fails, man.
He's not supposed to miss any games.
What in the world?
But That's the beginning for a man like that.
What is wrong with San Francisco, for the love of God, man?
It's that grass, man. I don't know.
Something.
Holy crap.
Yeah, they just need to stretch more or something.
Maybe they need to go back to natural grass surfaces across the league.
That would be great. Possibility. To be real. Because even those fields, the pellets and all that good stuff are known to even cause cancer, you know? The rubber pellets and all that.
Really?
Yeah. Soccer players are the ones experiencing that, you know, the after effects of that now. You can find studies on it.
Wow, that's nuts. I didn't know that. All right, guys. Oh, wow. The Steelers have just – it's the trade deadline today, guys. The Steelers have just traded Melvin Ingram to Kansas City Chiefs for a 6-round pick.
That's a good get for Kansas City.
That is.
Lord knows they need the help.
They do. Melvin Ingram started off strong this year. Has faded off a little bit since the first couple games of the season. But Kansas City can use all the help it can get.
Yeah, and look, you still have Chris Jones. Chris Jones just came back last night for the Giants game. And you still have Frank Clark. So you pair Melvin Ingram in there, and that defense does get better. Still not good, but it's a start. It's the best you could do in midway through the season, right? If your defense sucks, then you just kind of, you're out of luck. But, you know, it was a good get.
Packers have released Jalen Smith. Is this the end of his NFL career?
Oh, man. I feel bad. I feel worse about that than I did when the Cowboys cut him. But I tell you what, Michael Parsons had 11 tackles against Minnesota, and he looked incredible flying sideline to sideline. Jalen Smith couldn't do that. Not anymore. He could do it at Notre Dame. But after that gruesome knee injury, he lost his explosiveness.
Yeah,
it's still a success story. For him to come back from that, he still signed a contract. I mean, he's a $60 million man. He's invested his money doing businesses and stuff, which is probably part of the problem. But, I mean, he's set.
Why don't the Tennessee Titans make an offer for Ronald Jones? Why aren't you throwing out a second-round pick for Ronald Jones? The Bucs want an extraordinary offer. Like, to be able to add a running back of that caliber mid-season, like...
No, a second-round
They don't want to trade him.
That's taxing. Exactly, Brandon. They don't want to trade him because if they're trying to put a second-round label, oh, we want a second-round pick for this guy, I don't know about that.
They don't want to trade him. They've come out and said they would only do it for an extraordinary offer. That's what their official statement is. I just think... They, for this offense to succeed, they
McVay's
have to pound
like,
the rock.
Man, I don't have any draft picks.
It's a play action offense. If they don't have a running game, their passing game goes away too.
Well, I mean, you said Tennessee picked up AP, right?
Yeah.
Tannehill is gonna be pedestrian, I guarantee.
Very pedestrian.
If they can't run the football,
yeah,
we'll see though. I mean,
and it's casual fans out there who think, well, you guess what? Derrick Henry's going. They're gonna open up the offense. Got AJ Brown and Julio on the outside. Sure. That is gonna be a shit show if that is what has to happen. Because that is not what Ryan Tannehill is.
There you go.
DeSean Jackson has also asked for a trade from the Los Angeles Rams. We saw him pop out that one game, but Van Jefferson seems to become the stretch the field deep threat.
Yeah.
There you go, Woody. There's a call out for Woody.
That's wild. DeSean Jackson, he's back home in LA. I bet he probably got some street beef in the Crips or something is after him, and he's just trying to get out of town.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I did that for you. I know you love the story.
I love the story, bro. I mean, he got his place robbed in Philly on some gang stuff.
did he?
Yeah, he got a bunch of chains and cash snatched out of his safe in his house.
Man.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson. Him and Marshawn Lynch from the same neighborhood.
Yep.
Marshawn Lynch.
That's a hell of a neighborhood. That was probably fun growing up around that neighborhood.
Not playing against them in Pee Wee football. No.
Hey, look, I better have first pick. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. At least one of the first two picks. Shoot.
Oh, man. You know Marshawn was that kid playing. They were playing tackle out on the field in recess, just punishing kids, sending them to the nurse office.
Yeah, there's all still right, kids guys. In wheelchairs probably from that.
Of course.
Wheelchair Jimmy. all right, guys. That's going to wrap up our show this week for the NFL review. As always, keep out for our Thursday night football preview and as our betting extravaganza on Fridays. Two away from the top. I'm coming. Feeling. As always, check out footballscout365.com and check out the number 5toolsportspodcast.com. Fresh Renewed. It was a hell of a show, boys. Let's let the music hit.
Hey, Chiefs got 19 turnovers and lead the NFL.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cube.